This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana, originating from the Investar Bank building in Baton Rouge. And we start with the national scene and Troy Hebert, the seasoned Louisiana politico, former lawmaker, and a man who was out in front and backing Donald John Trump. Troy is now an independent, but he is bullish on the last president of the United States. And there is an election coming soon, and very soon, as in 103 days from today, we'll have a ballot that looks like it'll be Donald Trump and Kamala Harris. And Troy Hebert also said it was time for Joe to go after that abysmal debate performance last month in Atlanta. If you'd like to join the conversation, 877-217-5757, 877-217-5757, emails to talk at talklouisiana.org. And in just a bit, we'll also hear from Mark Ballard with the view from the Beltway about what is going on. As my friend and frequent guest Mike Wolf says, it's a great time, a fascinating time to be alive with all this stuff going on. And oh, by the way, last night, the school board agreed on Lamont Cole as the new superintendent. We'll talk in the latter part of the show with Darius Lannis. Last night, Joe Biden, who will be 82 years old on the 20th day of November, oldest president in U.S. history, he addressed the nation, and he never mentioned Donald Trump in his address that exceeded 10 minutes, but just barely. But he did, of course, make references that were directed at Trump, who, if he is elected, he will exceed Biden as the oldest president ever by the time his term is over. But here is Joseph Robinette Biden Jr. Sounding gracefully as he passes the torch, and obviously he hopes it will be to his vice president. But here is Biden.
So I've decided the best way forward is to pass the torch to a new generation. That's the best way to unite our nation. You know, there is a time and a place for long years of experience in public life. There's also a time and a place for new voices, fresh voices, yes, younger voices. And that time and place is now.
That is Joe Biden. And that pass the torch to a new generation was used in the speech that was constructed by John Kennedy and Ted Sorensen on January 20th, 1961, when John Fitzgerald Kennedy became the 35th American president. Joe Biden was a lad of 18 when that happened. Donald Trump, when President Kennedy took the oath of office, was 14 and a half years old. And he is now 78 years old and showing lots of wear and tear himself. And he is not happy about this turn of events. As Gavin Newsom said, the governor of California, "I pity Donald Trump right now because he knows Kamala Harris will take it to him." Now, whether that will play well with voters, it remains to be seen, but she is certainly a more vigorous opponent for Donald Trump than Joe Biden would have been. But former President Trump has a dim view of Harris, and this has the makings of being a campaign in which all bets are off, the gloves are off, and they will street fight their way to November 5th. Here is Trump yesterday. Donald John Trump on Kamala Harris, I think.
This November, the American people are going to tell her, "No thanks, Kamala. You've done a terrible job. You've been terrible at everything you've done. You're ultra-liberal, that we don't want you here. We don't want you anywhere. Kamala, you're fired. Get out of here. You're fired."
And this is from a man who in 2011, just 13 short years ago, gave $6,000 in campaign contributions to Kamala Harris when she was running for DA in San Francisco. Troy Hebert, how do you see the election now that there's a new matchup?
Well, good morning, Jim, and to your listeners. This new matchup is a game changer. As you know, a while back on your show, I always thought that Biden would not be the nominee. And listening to his speech and the segment you just played earlier, I couldn't agree more. The torch has been needing to be passed to a younger generation. The problem is that Biden and the Democrats are saying it too late. They should have said this 6 or 8 months ago when the primaries were going around this country and allowing the voters to vote. And then they could have put up some fresh faces and allow the voters to do it. The irony, Jim, in this whole deal is I believe that Trump made a strategic mistake by agreeing to debate Biden. It's my conspiracy theory opinion that the Democrats purposely put Biden up in a debate earlier so that, you know, he could possibly falter. And the irony is they talk about Trump destroying democracy, but here you have a party who actually is going to put up Harris as the nominee with not a single person voting for her to be the presidential nominee. That's not democracy. But they were very brilliant in their strategy in doing this and trapping Donald Trump to actually, he's the dog that caught the tire. He got rid of Biden. That was the biggest mistake he made because, in my opinion, and again, I'm a Trump supporter, Biden was the easiest person for him to beat. Why did the Republicans and Trump want to knock him out so early? I think it's a strategic mistake. I really do.
Trump is a guy who loves cameras and attention, and that's why he will debate Harris. And if I were advising him, I'd say that's not a good thing because she will push him, and he shows every inclination of taking the bait. And if he calls her a name like he did Hillary Clinton, it may not play well with the American people, considering what's happened to him in the last few years, being found civilly liable of a sexual assault in a department store, and also paying a porn star $130,000 to be quiet about a relationship they had. So Donald Trump has a history. Kamala Harris has a history. And Donald Trump, of course, will go there about her former relationship with Willie Brown. And we'll have one that will get in the gutter. There is no doubt about it. But some people believe, look, if you're running for president of the United States, you should be vetted and vetted in public. Now, as far as Harris taking over for Biden, I think most of our conservative listeners have reverence for Ronald Reagan. And twice he tried to undo the primaries of the Republicans in 1968. Richard Nixon got the nomination, and Ronald Reagan went to the convention in Miami and tried to take it away from him, even though Nixon had all the delegates he needed. And then in 1976, he did the same thing to Gerald Ford, who beat him in the primaries. And then Reagan went to Kansas City and actually named his running mate, Richard Schweiker, a liberal Republican. And he was trying to force Ford's hand to name his running mate. Ford did not have one then because Nelson Rockefeller had stepped aside. Ford didn't take the bait. He got the nomination. And then Reagan behaved poorly and went home and didn't really campaign heavily for Gerald Ford, who lost narrowly to Jimmy Carter. So I don't think Kamala Harris, who's the vice president of Joe Biden, is unworthy of being the Democratic nominee. But you are correct, in the primaries in which Biden had nominal opposition, he got 14 million votes, and she got zero, although I think most people knew they were voting for Biden and Harris. And a listener makes a good point that in 2020, Joe Biden got over 60 million votes and Donald Trump didn't respect the votes of the American people and tried to overturn an election. Is that valid, Troy Hebert?
Well, first of all these wrongs don't make a right. And going back to Reagan, I mean, I don't think anybody has challenged or criticized the Republicans for protecting the democracy either. The point, Jim, and I agree with the point you made, the point I'm saying is that this business about the Democrats acting like they all that and they for democracy, I don't know if either party's for democracy in a way. They're for keeping power or gaining power. And I think that's where people like me as an independent, I don't shy away from criticizing both parties. The point of the matter is, Jim, and I think you know the math. Less than 10% of the American people or voters are going to decide this race. And so what you have independent.
And why do you? Oh, I see what you're saying. It's close enough. Yeah. It's close enough.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
I mean,
okay. I got you.
Let's take a look at Biden's debate. As much as he tanked, he was still neck and neck with Trump. If you watch a debate, you would think he'd be 30 points up. But we both know if you're for Biden Or if you're liberal, you're going to be for the Democratic nominee. And the same thing goes to the Trump people. OK, so this less than 10%, I don't know the exact number, is actually the people who can go either way. And they're going to decide this election. And I think Trump needs to be very, very cautious in his rhetoric, because it's a game changer between demeaning and talking bad about a woman of color versus an old white dude. I mean, I hate to put it that way, but that's where we are. And that's just society today. And I think your point about Trump not debating Harris is right on. He'd be a fool to go in a debate with her, because maybe the same thing that happened to Biden would happen to him. More importantly, your point about he's not disciplined enough to take on a candidate that can do him a lot of damage when the American people hear the words coming out of his mouth. So I agree with you, Jim.
All right. Well, we have a consensus, and we'll go to the phone lines with Troy A. Barrett, and then we'll hear from Mark Ballard, 877-217-5757. Back after this quick timeout with more Talk Louisiana in 89.3 seconds. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to Talk Louisiana. Your number's 877-217-5757. Troy A. Bear, a lightning round, and we're going to try to get to as many of you as we can with Troy, and then we go to Mark Ballard, and of course the national news often supersedes what's going on locally, and there's a lot happening in Louisiana and in Baton Rouge, but I made the point yesterday in an address to the St. George Rotary Club that Donald Trump, when he ran for election in 2020, got 1.2 million votes in Louisiana. He won the state, lost the election, but Jeff Landry won without a runoff with 547,000 votes. So there you go. More people, and I don't think it's a good thing, but it's just the way it is. More people are engaged about what's happening nationally than they are in their own backyard. Troy A. Bear's a guy who keeps his finger on the pulse everywhere. And let's go to Jim on I-12. Jim, please be concise. You're on with Troy. Hi, Jim.
Good morning, gentlemen. I know that when I voted for President Biden, I also voted for his vice president just in case there was ever a problem. So, yes, I did cast a vote for Harris. And I'm really curious to how that is somehow not the case.
Okay. Thank you, Jim. Well, I think that's a non-starter. It probably would have been a valid issue, though, if somebody had come in out of nowhere, like Gavin Newsom. You name the candidate, Gretchen Whitmer, go down the list. That would have been an issue, but now that Harris, the vice president, is taking over for the president, who voluntarily withdrew, I think Mike Johnson is off base to say there are going to be constitutional challenges to this. There would have been constitutional challenges if Marco Rubio had been Trump's running mate, because based on the Constitution, they'd have to forego the 30 electoral votes in Florida. But that didn't happen either. He chose J.D. Vance. Is that a good choice, Troy Hebert, Senator Vance from the great state of Ohio? Or did Trump basically select a mini-me as his running mate?
Well, you know, first of all, going to your caller's point is the only reason why I think it's even being discussed is it's because it's the pot calling the kettle black, because the Democrats keep saying something about Trump is going to destroy democracy. I just think it should be a non-issue. Then about your question about Senator Vance, look, I think Trump and them were playing long ball and not short ball in that pick. And what do I mean by that? They're looking for a successor for Trump. So they're not looking about this 4 years because Trump thinks he has it in the bag. They're looking at who's going to take his place. And obviously, J.D. Vance checks all the boxes for him. The problem is that you've got to get through one election before you ought to be worrying about the next one. And if you look at when they picked Vance thinking it was Biden. And we both know that wasn't going to happen. So I don't understand the strategy on that, short of the long ball that they're trying to play with a successor.
I think Haley would have been his better choice, but she took it to Donald Trump, and as we know, he keeps score. But Vance, in his early appearances, has said things like, I like Diet Mountain Dew. Does that make me a racist? That doesn't sound presidential, but hey, we all have our off days and our off moments. David in Atlanta. Good morning, David. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning, gentlemen. Mr. Hebert, many of your Republican colleagues are saying that Kamala Harris is the DEI candidate, which I think is racist and demeaning and sexist. But would it be fair play to say that Donald Trump is the DEI candidate, the rapist, the fraudster, the convicted felon, the 54 count.
All right. I think that's more of a screed from our friend David in Atlanta than a real question. But every time Donald Trump throws up something, like if he, and he will do it, there's no doubt he'll mention Willie Brown. We'll hear a lot about Willie Brown, who 30 years ago may have had a relationship with Kamala Harris. But Trump has his own issues, and I think one thing you're right about, Troy, among many, is that people have largely made up their minds about Trump. This election now is about Harris because they haven't made up their minds about her. And she has the capacity to win the election because most people in this country, as has been proved twice, are not comfortable with Donald Trump as president. The best he got was 46% in two elections. They're not comfortable with him, but there's about 40% of the country that voted for him twice, and they're going to vote for him again. So it's really about Harris at this point, Troy Hebert.
Well, you're right on target about that, Jim. But you know, let's take a dissect that with a few points. So the first thing is that, again, he's not running against this old white dude, Biden, anymore. So, you know, Harris is an individual who I promise you the liberal press will make look like Wonder Woman. So whatever happened in the past and some few of the mistakes she made, that's going to be overlooked. And they're going to package her. And the question is, if she's disciplined enough to read off that teleprompter and don't do like Trump and straight, read off the teleprompter, cut down on the laughing a little bit and package her pretty good, she will be tough to beat. The second point I want to make is going back to she's not Biden, is the thing is that whether people agree with this or not, in today's society, it's very difficult for an old guy to attack, number one, a woman, number two, a woman of color. And the rules are different. Whether Trump likes those rules or not, let's go back to the 10% I told you about. They're not going to just sit back and allow somebody to be attacked relentlessly. When Trump's pivot ought to be is don't talk about what Harris did or Biden did. Talk about what you're going to do. The people know the country's in trouble. What's your solutions and what's your answers? That's a better play than calling her names, Jim.
Final caller for Troy Hebert, please be concise. Henry at the Country Club. Hello, Henry.
Hello, Mr. Troy. Hello, Mr. Jim. I was wondering if y'all could point something out to me since you got a Trump supporter on there who I like. If you could explain to me, what name is James David Vance, otherwise known as James Donald Bowman, is otherwise known as James David Hamill? What name is he going to use on the ballot?
All right. We're talking about J.D. Vance. And his name is James David. Two very good names, I might say. But I think he'll be on the ballot as J.D. Vance. And
they'll be look, Jim, they're going to give him worse names than James David, I promise you. They're going to call him all kind of names, so he better be ready for that.
Well, he does have a little bit of James David Cain in him. Some of us remember.
Good point, Jim. Very good point.
All right. Robin says Trish and Grand Coteau's been waiting. So, Trish, you will get in with Troy, but please be brief. Hi, Trish.
Hi. I'm calling sort of in facetiousness to see what you think of the childless cat women for Harris in 2024 as a result of a remark that J.D. Vance made about how the country was run by miserable childless cat women.
All right. That's another of Vance's malaprops that he'd be better off not saying something like that. But the fact that she's never biologically had a child, I hope that's not a disqualifier for being president of the United States, Troy.
Well, that is a fatal quote that he's going to hear 100 times a day. And you need to be very, very careful. Again, I don't think that has anything to do with somebody holding any office. Sometimes God blesses us with kids, and sometimes he doesn't. But that has nothing to do with politics. So I think, again, the discipline, Jim, needs to be there from not only Trump, but from his running mate, Vance. They have a fine line to walk, and making quotes like that is not going to get them across the finish line. That's just foolishness.
Well, thank you, Troy Hebert. Always enjoy your insights.
Thank you, Jim, and thanks for your listeners.
Thank you. And we're joined by Mark Ballard. We're about to go to a break, but Mark, A listener asked right off about Cedric Richmond. Is that for real, that he would possibly be a running mate of Kamala Harris? He's being vetted, the former congressman from New Orleans. Your take on that?
Well, I mean, it is for real. He is being vetted. But I think that they're looking more at Governor Shapiro or from Pennsylvania, and Governor Whitmer from Michigan, and Governor Beshear from Kentucky. And those seem to be the names.
Kelly, Senator Kelly.
Oh, that's right. And Senator Kelly from Arizona. Those are the names that keep popping up. But Richmond was among the seven or eight names of folks who were vetted.
Yeah, and no doubt Cedric Richmond's qualified, but we do live in a country that traditionally, through the years, has tried to, quote, balance a ticket, and that, for obvious reasons, would be a factor in the race. We'll talk about some more and other matters after. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. 877-217-5757 is your number. We're talking about national politics with Mark Ballard. I got a message from my friend Maxine Crump. Says, balance the ticket like an all-white male whale. That's a Freudian slip. All-white male ticket, which is what the Republicans have. And as I just stated, I think a ticket balancer that would have been more effective for Donald John Trump would have been to put Nikki Haley on the ticket. But he did not do that. And I do think, Mark, you mentioned Gretchen Whitmer. That might not be a bad move to have two women on the ticket. Women comprise most of the electorate. And I think that might actually work. I don't think they're going to do it. But Michigan, of course, is also a key state. Wouldn't that be something?
Well, I think that the, I mean, the people who are going to vote for diversity are going to vote for Kamala Harris anyway. So having two women on there, I mean, you know, that would be, I guess, you know, why not, right? I mean, we've had two men.
We had two men.
She was.
That's right.
Until, oh, I guess Geraldine right. Ferraro. Mm-hmm. We've had two men, and usually two white men, you know, from the beginning of the foundation of the republic. So, you know, why not two women?
Well, in the first presidential election in which women were eligible to vote, I think was 1924. They got the right in 20. I'm not sure they actually were able to vote in 1920. But anyway, we went from the first presidential election in the latter part of the 18th century to 1920, before women could even vote in this country. So women have come a long way, and for good reason. And a listener who wishes to remain anonymous says that he believes that some women would not vote for a ticket with two women because they're accustomed to voting for men. And it is true that most of the time they have to vote for a man because there's no woman to choose. But it is an interesting proposition, and I think it would just add some even more luster to this race if Whitmer ended up being on the ticket with Harris. But the odds appear to be veering toward Shapiro or Harris right now. Not Harris, but Kelly in Arizona. And either of them, I think, would be a solid choice, too. But 877-217-5757, another listener points me to a story that is out in Harris. If she wants to run on the economy, she should, according to our listener, Hallen Monroe. The U.S. economy grew at a faster rate than expected in the second quarter. The Bureau of Economic Analysis shows that it grew at an annualized pace of 2.8%, the GDP, well above the 2% growth predicted by economists, and inflation is also easing. So for those who wanted to take aim at Biden and Harris for wrecking the economy right now, contrary to statements by the former president, the economy is perking along pretty well right now, Mark.
It is and has been for quite some time. I mean, then we should probably take a look at the fact that America's economy kind of rebounded after the pandemic and the shutting of all those businesses a lot faster and a lot more profoundly than most of Europe and most of Asia. But the problem that the president has run into is that while inflation keeps going down, salaries keep going up, that you know, certain things like, you know, gasoline and milk and there are certain items remain to be in rent remains far more expensive than it was prior to the pandemic, and so people don't really feel that inflation is under control because they're paying more for groceries.
Well, yeah, if you've already had 1 year in which it hovered around 10%. By the way, the U.S. had lower inflation than almost any place on the planet at that time, but still, you can't take that back. But the thing that did happen in the United States that was largely underreported was that, yes, all those prices were going up, but wages were going up too, Mark.
Indeed, and there was more and more jobs being made available. I mean, and that also kind of fueled inflation, or at least kind of slowed it down. But again, people are looking at, you know, my rent went up, my health care went up, my milk went up, and they're trying hard to believe, you know, the overall statistics have said, you know, actually you're in a much better position than you had been.
Now, a listener also points me to this direction, a story this week, right there in your backyard, your new backyard. U.S. Secret Service Director Kimberly Cheadle testified before the House Oversight and Accountability Committee about the attempted assassination of former President Trump, and she resigned a day later. Now, a member of that committee is Clay Higgins, and he, according to reports, did not show up for the committee hearing, and that would seem to be red meat for Clay Higgins. Where was Clay?
I have no clue. Clay does not really like to talk to anyone other than like Newsmax and Fox, so I have no clue what he was up to on that day. But I did kind of notice that he wasn't there, and found it interesting that AOC and MTG, which Marjorie Taylor Greene and Alexandria Cortez agreed. I mean, I don't think they've agreed on anything at all, but they both agreed that she needed to, that the Secret Service chief probably needed to step down because she couldn't really answer questions or give anything kind of details to what they were looking for. And it very much appears like there was a problem with the protocols and procedures at that rally.
877-217-5757 for Mark Ballard in the Beltway, 103 days away from the election. The people in Congress are back. And in our delegation, I think we know how almost all members will stand, even Bill Cassidy. Even Bill Cassidy says he'll vote for the Republican. Well, I guess that means he's voting for Trump, a man he tried to throw out of office, Mark.
But he won't actually say the name Trump. I mean, when talking with him earlier this week, it was, you know, absolutely we'll be voting for the Republican. We'll not be voting for the Democratic candidate, whoever it might be. You know, well, does that mean you're going to vote for Donald Trump? I'm going to stand by what I've said. I'm voting for the Republican. Okay. Yeah, so there we go. And then at the same time, he's kind of mouthing the same talking points that have been handed out for the Republicans. And, you know, that the vice president was solely responsible for the border surge in December, which has, by the way, went way down, and which, of course, she was not actually in charge of that. That was Mayorkas, who they've already tried to impeach. And so, I mean, he's adapted. He's embraced the Republican talking points, and he's going to vote for the Republican nominee, whoever that might be, which I believe now is Donald Trump, but we're not going to actually say his name.
Well, he is the nominee. We know that. And Sheila, who says she's on Dalrymple, which is where Senator Cassidy lives, right at the gates of LSU, says, wouldn't it serve Senator Cassidy well if Harris won? because he's going to be in a closed primary. And if he's got President Trump against him and President Trump in the White House against him in a closed primary, I would say you're right, Sheila. Cassidy would be toast. He would be toast. He may be toast anyway.
I see where she's coming from, you know, because it's always hard to say. But if the Republicans win the Senate, he becomes the chair of perhaps the most important committee that they have in the Senate side, and that's the Health, Education, Labor, and Pension Committee, you know, the Health Committee mm-hmm. that Bernie Sanders is the chair of now. And that's only if the Republicans take the majority in the Senate. And so does that change the dynamic? Though I'm not sure how many people realize how important that committee is.
Well, and Garrett Graves stood to be chair of the Transportation Committee if Republicans kept the House. And Garrett's not on the ballot this fall. Phil in Jefferson Terrace, you're on with Mark. Good morning, Phil.
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen. The other thing about what's happened with the Biden campaign now is that the people who have said that they would withhold their support unless he has his position on Gaza changes and we get our country out of there because it is a genocide that's going on out there. And then now all the people who have been demonstrating and also around the world in support of the Palestinian.
All right. What about that as an issue? Harris has been more critical of Netanyahu. Didn't go to his appearance on Capitol Hill, but she is married to a Jewish man, and she may very well choose Josh Shapiro, who is not only Jewish but he is an extremely conservative Jewish person of faith. Josh Shapiro, the governor of Pennsylvania. I don't know that they can hit her on that. And Trump, of course, he's for Netanyahu, he's for Putin, he's for anybody who has treated him with reverence, and both of those gentlemen have, Mark.
Yeah, I'm not sure I would go that far on that, but basically what the argument seems to be is that it's not so necessarily that they're pro-Palestinian as they're against the Israeli the IDF the Israeli armies and Netanyahu's efforts to kind of attack and hurt Palestinian civilians. And that seems to be where the argument lies, but it's kind of gotten all mixed up mm-hmm. in the, you know, the, from the river to the sea and genocide and all of that, which Netanyahu pointed out yesterday correctly.
Okay, we'll spend a few more minutes with Mark Ballard, and then if things go according to plan, it's Darius Lanis on Talk Louisiana. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. 877-217-5757 in our remaining moments with Mark Ballard, and then we'll turn the page and go to Darius Lanis. Lamont Cole is the new superintendent of schools. Do want to note that a loyal listener to this show, Isaac O'Neill Winfield, died a few days ago, July 26th, and tomorrow there will be a service for him beginning at 11 a.m. at Antioch Full Gospel Baptist Church on Mickens Road. And he was quite a man, a veteran, served our country well, known as Big Ike, Sonny. He was born January 19, 1942, the year of birth of Joseph Robinette Biden, passed away 2024 on July 20th. And so 42 to 24, that's a good life, 82 years for Isaac O'Neill Winfield. 877-217-5757 for Mark Ballard. Let's go to Joseph in Mid-City. Please be brief, Mark, or please be brief, Joseph. You're on with Mark.
Of course. Yeah, so I'm wondering, on the topic of the whole Palestine thing, if you have seen or suspect that there's maybe sort of a generational divide in sort of how people feel about it.
Mark, have you detected that? Generational opinions being different on the war in Gaza?
That seems to be, yeah. I think that it's generational. I tend to be more supportive of Israel, but then, you know, you and I grew up in that sort of supporting Israel sort of thing. Yesterday, all of the protests that were around Union Station that made it impossible to get to use Union Station yesterday were, I mean, 95% of those folks were, you know, the age of my children, college age children. So, yes, that's what I think.
Okay, please be concise. Thank you, Joseph. Randy and Zachary. Hello, Randy.
Good morning. Mark, I wanted to ask you, when Tim Burstead made his comment about Kamala Harris being a DEI hire, is that feeling among all Republicans, or was that just a one-off? Because I noticed that Speaker Mike Johnson did push back against that.
It is the feeling of a lot of Republicans, and I think that was why Speaker Johnson pushed back, saying, you know, stop it. Let's just talk policy.
For now.
Well, for now. Well, I really don't think Speaker Johnson is going to go after her because, you know, and use those Catwoman kind of comments and allusions. I just don't see him doing that.
But he did say that this is Biden and Harris using the Attorney General's office, their Attorney General Merrick Garland, as a prosecutorial outreach of the White House to try to punish Donald Trump. And as you noted on this show, well, that same arm went after Bob Menendez, close ally of Biden, and Biden's own son. So that one, as Bill Clinton used to say, this dog won't hunt. I don't think that's going very far.
It is, but I mean, I think that that's kind of a policy sort of thing, and that, you know, that differs from calling Vice President Harris names because of her ethnicity.
I talked to Scott Wilfong yesterday, and he told me that at the Republican convention in Milwaukee that Kevin McCarthy was giving an interview, and off to the side, Matt Gaetz was ridiculing him, making faces, calling him names, saying, "You're not the speaker anymore." I mean, this is an amazing time we're in, isn't it?
It is indeed. And Matt Gaetz is facing the first really strong opponent of his career, and he's being financed by Kevin McCarthy, who was you know, vowed and determined to that Pensacola has a new congressman.
I wonder why. Well, thank you, Mark Ballard. Appreciate you. We'll talk next week.
Thanks.
Darius Lanis is with us, school board member, and last night was a historic night for the school board and for East Baton Rouge Parish. Lamont Cole is now the superintendent of schools, and he got wide support from the board. What is your observation on this sudden development, the Metro Councilman moving to being superintendent of schools, Darius?
Well, first let me say, as always, Jim, thank you for having me on the show. Good morning, Talk Louisiana and all surrounding areas. It is such a privilege to always be here. Last night was a night of celebration and jubilation for our entire community. People from all walks of life, all places, all neighborhoods around Baton Rouge and East Baton Rouge Parish came out and showed just a groundswell of support for Lamont Cole. You know, he's the right person at the right time for the job. He's not only qualified, but he knows how to bring people together. We heard a lot of that last night. And, you know, I can't say enough about him as a leader inside of our community and somebody who is just all about kids and moving the needle in education. Last night, we made the right choice, Jim.
It took a while to get there, though, and Bill Huey says taxpayers should be outraged at a colossal waste of time and resources, and I appreciate Bill's concerns, but you got to the finish line with a popular candidate. Why wasn't Lamont out in front? Why did it take so long?
Well, if you know anything about Lamont Cole, he's a man of stature. You know, he's a man of integrity, and he and interim superintendent at the time, Adam Smith, are really, really good friends. And he always said that if Adam wants it, he will not put his name in. And it got to a point where Adam went to Lamont and told him, "I think it's time that you put your name in so we can move this process forward." And I think that was a very admirable thing for interim superintendent Adam Smith to do. And what I will also say to that, Jim, it was not a waste of taxpayers' dollars. The reason being is because the taxpayers showed up and they said who they wanted. Unfortunately, the process didn't roll out that way, but everything for the last 6 months rolled out exactly how it was supposed to in terms of the process. You know, the thing that got mucky was the people said who they wanted based off the work that had already been in over the course of the last 6 months, and we didn't get there. You know, and the democratic process stood up as it was supposed to, and the right thing happened. You know, we got the right person at the right time, and that is Superintendent Lamont Cole, and it was a historic night. And we did not lose out on Adam Smith, because he was named Deputy Superintendent last night.
Okay, 877-217-5757 is your number, and a listener notes, actually a couple of listeners, that one of Lamont Cole's top aides qualified to run for his seat against him, so it looks like something was going on late last week. Was the fix in, asked one listener. That's a harsh way of putting it, but did we know this was going to happen a few days ago?
No, absolutely not. Well, I'll tell you, with so many moving parts leading up to the vote itself, nobody knew that was going to happen. And in fact, I think Lamont Cole was just preparing himself in case he did win. But he did clear that up last night. He said that he's taking his name out of contention for the seat. He said he has until Friday to do so, but he said he's following up on the process right now. So he will not be over the seat. I think it was just a preliminary measure just in case he did get in.
All right. Well, could he serve both as a Metro councilman and as superintendent of schools? Is that doable? Or is there some that's not technically not dual office holding, but it's real close to the line, Darius?
It is, and according to the law of Louisiana statute, he cannot do that. He has to be a full-time superintendent, and he explained that very well last night. He said, you know, while he loves his job, being on the council, while he loves being the mayor pro temp, which is a very high position inside of our city, he made it very clear that he is going to do what is best for our district, and that is serving full-time as a superintendent. So he had every intention to relinquish his role and walk into his new role as our superintendent.
But those questions are often murky. Like, for example, a professor at LSU, could he or she be a state lawmaker? And I think the answer is yes. Donald Ray Kennard was assistant athletic director at LSU for many years, was also a state lawmaker. But you're saying that you can't be school superintendent of East Baton Rouge Parish and also be a Metro Council person.
Yes. Okay. I think for him, he didn't even want to walk into the mucky water, right? He just wanted to clear everything up on the spot with everybody in the room and our whole community watching by saying that his full-time job is going to be superintendent of East Baton Rouge Parish Schools. He does not want to serve a dual role. He does not want people to think that he is not bootstrapped on the ground, ready to go and focused for when we need him most.
We had Patrick Martin on the show the other day, and a listener inquired whether Martin supported Lamont Cole, and he did. What does Lamont Cole bring to the table that Cito Narcisse, who tried to get back in the game, did not or would not?
Well, I think both of them are amazing leaders. I think the place that we're in inside of our city right now, we need a time for healing. I don't think that past superintendent, Dr. Cito Narcisse, would have been a bad pick. But however, where we were inside of our city, we needed to heal. We need to move forward in our process, and we didn't need a process where we're going to be splitting votes. I think last night showed a sign of solidarity across our board, across our community, and our students, our teachers, our employees. They needed to see that. And I think that has set us up to put us in a great place. Now you don't hear anything about strikes. The teacher unions were, in jubilation. The business community was in jubilation. And most importantly, our board came together and voted unanimously to get him over the line.
Unanimously. Meaning white Republicans and black Democrats.
All together.
Well, Lamont, he made a great pitch, and this is a rare time of unity, as you know. What was it? There has to be a personal magnetism there in addition to what he said. They must like him, and that sometimes is the biggest quality of all in getting things done. Your thoughts?
I'm sorry, go ahead, Joe.
No, your thoughts about why him and when they were so divided over everybody else?
I think Lamont did his part in talking to everyone, having the conversations, not just with our board members, but also across our community. As I said before, Adam Smith reached out to him personally and said, you know, I think it's time that you put your name in. Everybody started to have the conversations, and I think that people started to really rally behind him once they looked at his background.
Well, thank you, Darius Lannis. It's Lamont Cole. We'll see what happens, and hopefully we'll talk with him soon. Until tomorrow, stay safe and stay tuned.